Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, we're going to be talking to three former Washoe County School Board trustees, Howard Rosenberg, Diane Nicolet, and Lisa Ruggiero. It'll be quite the show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail, we help it grow, and we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're going to have a discussion today about the Washoe County School Board with three former trustees. Howard Rosenberg joins us, a familiar face on the program. Diane Nicolet, her first appearance on the program. And we also have Lisa Ruggiero. Pleasure to have you all here on the program.
Thank you.
So at this point, in close proximity in time, we are now on our third superintendent who is going to be gone here. He's already gone, essentially, but the legal paperwork is still to be done. What is wrong with the Washoe County School Board that we've gone through three superintendents in such a short period of time and all under peculiar circumstances, I should be polite in saying? Lisa, Do you want to take a stab at that?
So, I'm not sure there's anything wrong with the Washoe County School Board. The average stay of a superintendent is just a few years. And so our last superintendent was with Washoe County School District for over 6 years. So I'm not sure there's something wrong. I think we have a challenge with public education in general across the country. And I think we're seeing the repercussions of that here in our local community. And one thing that really stands out to me is we need to support our school board. And what I mean by that is if we continue to change school board members, we're going to impact student achievement. And we will continue to make the same mistakes. And so as a community, we need to embrace our school board. We need to hold them accountable for mistakes because they're going to make mistakes. We're dealing with a system that has been bureaucratically dysfunctional for decades.
All right, so let me just back up a little bit. Yes, you're correct that one of the superintendents was here for 6 years, but all three left under not normal circumstances. They didn't retire because they chose to. They didn't move on to another job because it was a better position. They were all let go in one fashion or another. So what is the issue? What is the problem? And, you know, do we need to resolve that? Would it be beneficial to have a school superintendent who is here for 10 years, say, and gave some kind of stability? Or is it just a national trend, as we see with a lot of university presidents, that you're just there for a couple of years and then there's a problem and boom, you're gone?
Well, You know, I think there's lots of answers to that,
Sam. Well, let's try the first one.
It's a complex issue, and I think it's really up to the community as to what they want to see happen with their superintendent. Heath Morrison left on good terms. He left to grow his career. Sadly, he had a similar circumstance in his last superintendent position where he was asked to leave by the board, and it was a quite controversial experience. You know, we've seen some interesting things happening with our superintendent hires over the at least two of them. That is with Pedro Martinez and Heath Morrison. They were tied to an academy called the Broad Academy, and it has a very unique philosophy. And that philosophy is to push away parent engagement, and to also leave the Board of Trustees out of the mix as far as decision making. And so when Tracy Davis came on board, she had a lot of things to clean up. And I think she did a fairly good job of that, of putting those systems in place that were lacking. So it's a very complex issue.
Howard, do you have some concerns?
The concerns are really very simple. Most problems with education are generational. They're not something you can fix in half an hour or an hour. You see the problem, but fixing it isn't the easiest thing in the world. And you've got to understand how it came about, what it's doing, and what the ramifications are for everything that you try to do. Now, you've got basically a school board that's made up of lay people. Most of them don't have any real experience with education except going through the school district themselves, the school system themselves. Trying to put that into a situation where you can see what's going on with what's happening now becomes really, really difficult. You can't teach what you don't know. Well, the same thing happens. You can't govern with a system that you don't understand how it's all reacting. And it makes things exceedingly difficult to have the kinds of conversations that you need to have in public about people without hurting those people, which you don't want to do. It becomes really very difficult.
And is the open meeting law a part of the problem?
It hampers things, yes, it does.
Because?
The idea of the open meeting law is marvelous. Transparency. Yes, but there are times when you want to have a discussion quietly, air out your dirty linen quietly, try to figure out what's the best way to attack the problem, and then go about doing it. You can't do that when it's out in the public and everybody thinks they understand what the situation is, and many times doesn't.
I absolutely agree with Howard in that the open meeting law is a wonderful firewall, so to speak.
Yes.
The challenge is that, as I agree with you, is you do need to beat up topics, and you need to bring your research. And it's impossible to do that in a trustee meeting, an open meeting, twice a month. There are topics that you really need to deep dive and discuss with your colleagues. The key is that, and I found that we had some wonderful discussions, you don't make a decision. That's, to me, where the firewall is. If you are in a group and you are discussing a very important topic and you're sharing your research, you must not make a decision. You bring that to the public forum where you make your decision so that it's not manipulated. You continue your conversation, but those hours and hours of discussing a topic can happen amongst professionals. And it doesn't need to be in the public. It can be. We can have 10-hour trustee meetings. I mean, that could certainly happen.
But isn't that illegal under the
yes.
open meeting law?
Yes, of course.
To do that.
Yes, of course. That's why I agree.
Sam,
it's cumbersome.
I'm not sure this is going to work, but I'll try it for what it's worth. The underlying problems are really very complex, the way it all operates. Okay, that's all well and good.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Let me try it this way. We know, I think everyone who's watching probably knows, that we don't teach cursive writing any longer in the public schools. Who decided that this was a bad thing? I learned cursive writing, you learned cursive writing, I think most all of us of a certain age did. But why did we stop it? What was the good part about it, and what did we lose in the process? This is the kind of thing that needs to be discussed, but maybe not at the school board level. Maybe it needs to be discussed in public with the people who are really involved in that kind of thing. Cursive writing isn't just pretty. It teaches you a flow. It's how you take disparate units and put them together, breaking the disparate units when you have a new unit that comes of it. Now, we're not doing that. We're teaching kids how to print, or even worse than that, they're doing everything online. Well, what happens if the world comes to an end as far as electricity is concerned and there's no more online? We don't communicate any longer?
All right.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Even worse than that, not only can't the kids write cursive, they can't read it. There's an entire backlog of information these kids can't access because they don't understand what it means. It's like reading a foreign language. This is the kind of thing that needs to be discussed all the way up the line so that the public understands what it is that's actually happening and can have some input.
All right, so Lisa, let me start out with an even more basic question. So who is in charge? Is it the school board? Is it the superintendent? Is it the bureaucracy? Who's in charge of the school district?
That's a great question, Sam. And you know, sometimes I asked myself that question many times when I served as a school board trustee. The way it's designed is the superintendent is really the CEO, and the board is responsible for oversight of the superintendent mm-hmm. and the budget. But you're looking at part-time lay people who are serving in a capacity really because they want to volunteer, because they care about education.
Yeah.
And if you look at the size of the school district, the size of the budget, and you compare it to other public entities, they have full-time elected offices that are supported through a salary and things like that. They're able to put the time that they need to put into doing the research. I mean, we're receiving a board packet this big every 2 weeks. And how is a person supposed to really be able to take a deep dive into that information when they're working a full-time job? Now, I'm not advocating that we should be paying school board trustees a full-time salary, but there has to be some understanding of the way the dynamics are, and they're not similar to, say, how a county commission is run or how a city council is being run. So
what's your solution to that?
It's a complex solution. We're looking at, as I spoke about earlier, Sam, we're looking at decades of dysfunction.
Yep.
And the public has
been... Okay, so hang on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So decades of dysfunction just in Washoe County or across the country?
Well, I think across the country, but I really want to focus here in Washoe County because, you know, this is where I live and this is... It's why I chose to run for school board because I saw decades of dysfunction and broken systems. I mean, we can talk about school safety. 25 years I advocated and worked towards school safety. And it literally took me 25 years to get a school safety commission up and running. So in looking at decades of dysfunction, superintendents come in for a short period of time. They're looking at what's the best way to make an impact, and they're looking at graduation rates. You can talk to Howard how he feels about that should not be a measure of what we're doing in our school system. But it has to be a workable relationship between the superintendent and the Board of Trustees. And what we're seeing here in Washoe County, we're repeating patterns. Here is a perfect example. Trustee Caudill made a request a few meetings ago to put the legal counsel back under the Board of Trustees. This was a topic that Howard and I had several discussions openly and publicly on the board agenda. When we first served on the board, we saw some issues with our legal counsel. We saw some things that weren't working right. And we did some research publicly. We sent out letters and got recommendations on how we should be looking at legal advice for the Board of Trustees. And I still think it's a major issue and maybe something that the legislators have to get involved in is looking at, you know, who should be advising the Board of Trustees because there's a real conflict there when legal counsel is working for the superintendent.
Okay. Diane, so do you think that the attorney should be under the Attorney General's office, as was done certainly for a period of time with Washoe County?
I think that makes sense because, again, I think you have to have a division between the... when the attorney for Washoe County reports to the superintendent and the superintendent is basically their boss.
Yeah.
It is definitely a conflict of interest to then have that attorney be also an advisor to the trustees. There needs to be a break there. There needs to be a distinction. It's not fair, number one, to have an employee of the Washoe County School District report to the CEO of the district and then also advise the volunteers. That doesn't make sense. That's bad business. I do want to say that maybe call me a Pollyanna, but I personally do not think that our United States of America public school system is broken, nor do I think it's dysfunctional. We educate over 50 million children, and we employ over 9 million part-time and full-time employees in our public school systems. It is a big business, and it definitely has some big business challenges, but I think it's phenomenal what our public school system has been able to do for our children, families, communities, and the United States. Having said that, I do believe that we have some habits. One of them is in how we spend our money that we really need to deep dive. Two of those would be administration. I'm not saying we have too many or too few.
I am.
Yes, I know. And I also would love us to take a much deeper dive in how we spend our money on the latest and greatest fads.
All right, let's take a break. We'll make some money here, and then we'll come back and talk
That'll
more.
Be
we'll
nice.
Be right back.
I like that idea.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're talking with three former trustees of the Washoe County School District Board, and we're joined by Lisa Ruggiero, Howard Rosenberg, and Diane Nicolette. So let's start out with you, Lisa. You wanted to carry on where Diane left off.
I think Dr. Nicolette, what she talks about is very important, and that's to talk about the power of our public school system. And really, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about our teachers, because those are the individuals who work so hard every day to make a difference in our children's lives. I mean, I'm a perfect example of the impact teachers can have on a young person, and every single one of my teachers.
Okay,
did
so
that
let me back you up just a second here, because you come to a very important point in saying that teachers are the most important thing. We have money to build schools that was put together by the last bond issue in Washoe County. We have the state government constantly over this administration, the previous administration, and prior administrations, money to education, money to education, money to education. And yet, the first thing I read when school is coming back into session is that we have to raise money from the parents and from the community to buy school supplies for each classroom. That seems to me to be insane that we have not resolved that issue. Why is it that teachers are still having to dip into their own pockets to buy the most basic supplies?
I think Howard's chomping at the bit to chime in on that.
Sam, it doesn't make any sense at all. Because, but for instance, the marijuana initiative, all the money that was coming from marijuana was supposed to go to education. Now all of a sudden there's no money. Where's it going? Where did it go? The rainy day fund. Well, I've got news. It's snowing out now. We need money. And they need to be able to put that money where it's going. But then let's talk about our public schools. Some of them are so old that if there's even a crack in the tile, in the corridor, you have to close the whole school down, seal it up, and go through the asbestos abatement. There's a million different things that get in the way of the primary job, which is what we should be doing, educating our kids.
Okay, but aren't teachers... Hang on a second.
You're no fun.
Teachers are the most important part of this equation.
You got it.
Because if the teacher is not teaching the kids. I worked in newsrooms when I first started in TV journalism, where at a certain point in the year they couldn't afford pencils and reporters' notebooks. And fortunately, I had enough money where I could go and buy my own, but I had no understanding of how you could run a newsroom with no pencils and no notebooks.
Right.
And it seems that you have exactly the same situation in the Washoe County School District and other school districts across the state where there is no money. Why are we not
pointing to a major problem? Because
it's a minor amount of money.
Problem. What we're doing now is exactly what's wrong with the system.
We having
a
conversation
with one another.
I'm not arguing.
About, yes, you
I'm
are.
I'm making a point.
Yes, no, you're arguing. You're arguing with me. And arguing isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can be a positive thing. There's a wonderful book that I began getting for my students a couple of years ago called You Can't Teach What You Don't Know. And most of us don't know what the teacher is facing today in the classroom. Mm-hmm. We're basing it on what we went through when we were that age in the classroom, either as teacher or student.
Okay, Diane, but my point is that the most basic tools that a teacher needs are not there. And they are the least expensive of any of the things we're talking about.
I personally think that it's okay and it's actually a good idea for parents to be able to go out and help their child pick their school supplies. And yes, each school gives a list of school supplies. I run into a little challenge where schools have them bring Kleenex. It seems to me that there are some basic supplies, and yes, those could be pencils and paper. But I think there's history in our United States. I remember doing it with my mother, going and buying supplies. Your point, though, about teachers having to dig into their pockets, I will say always has challenged me a bit. Being the director of a child care center, I see teachers purchasing things.
Right.
I would prefer that they didn't, but sometimes they want to buy their own special things, and I'm okay with that. But teachers, I believe, should be given the tools that they need to be able to teach. And them having to dig into their pocket, and we now have a teacher gets $125 a year from the state of Nevada to buy supplies,
which is
definitely nothing.
Which may be about $3 a person.
Listen,
we have to take another quick break and then we'll be back. Okay. We'll be right back after this.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me?
I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation here with the three former trustees of the Washoe County School Board. We've got very little time, Lisa, so your final thoughts.
Engage. I want the community to engage. Reach out to your trustees. Ask the hard questions and hold them accountable.
All right.
But ask them the questions politely. They're doing the best they can, knowing what they know and not knowing what they don't know.
Diane? We are blessed to have a wonderful community with wonderful schools. And yes, there are challenges, and we are blessed.
To be continued. Thank you all very much. Thanks. And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our Nevada Newsmakers channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.